Welcome to Tarati Macha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. I'm Ruchama Welcher, and today we're going to be studying the fifth parak of Mishlei, Parak Hei. And in this parak, Shlomo HaMelech speaks as a wise father, and he's offering heartfelt and critical advice to his son. And at the core of his message is make good choices. Choices about what you pursue, choices about what you value, about what you invest in, because your choices will have enormous implications for your entire life. So in Pasuk Aleph, he says, Bni, l'chachmasi hakshiva l'sfunasi hat aznecha. My son, listen to my wisdom. Incline your ear to my understanding. I've acquired this wisdom through life experience. I've lived, I've seen things. Take my word seriously. And then he introduces a powerful governing metaphor for this parak, and it's the metaphor of a strange woman. She's a seductress. She's a symbol of temptation, and she's a symbol of false promises. And she seems so attractive and so welcoming, and she offers you relief from all of your problems, but ultimately she's going to lead you to a place of no return. So, Kinaifes titaifna sifsei zara, v'chalak mishemen chika. For the lips of a strange woman, they drip honey, and her mouth is smoother than oil. She speaks sweet, pleasant, seductive words. She's so attractive, she's so compelling. But although her initial words are sweet and smooth and flattering, ba'charisa mara chala'ana, chada kacherif piyos. Her end is bitter as wormwood. It's as sharp as a double-edged sword. The Be'er Mayim Chaim points out that the honey is only on her lips. Ki nofes titofna sifsei zara. Her lips drip honey. But this is only skin deep. The sweetness doesn't penetrate beneath the surface. It's very deceptive sweetness. It's an initial delicious taste just on her lips. And it leads you to believe that the experience is all going to be so sweet. But the acharisa mara chala'ana. Inside, she's bitter as death. She's bitter as wormwood. And this is a mashal for all experiences or relationships or pursuits that seem really sweet on the surface. But there's nothing underneath. There's no substance. The honey's only on the lips. It's this thin coating of pleasure. And beneath it, what is there? There's bitterness, there's emptiness, there's even death. It's just like that opportunity that promises really quick and easy money, but then it requires you to compromise your values. The outside is sweet as honey, the inside is bitter as wormwood. Or that device or that habit that feels comforting, it feels fascinating, but it slowly steals your presence from real life, leaving you with this bitter, empty feeling. And when you give it your attention and you give it your time and you give it your heart, you realize it never gave you anything back. It took your energy, it took your focus, it took your sense of self. And it seemed so sweet, but it was really a trap dressed up in pleasure. It's like this woman who has lips dripping with honey, but she's essentially as bitter as wormwood. The Malbim points out that embedded in the details of this metaphor, in the language of the Psukim, is the idea that everything that initially seemed so sweet ultimately became so sour. So you were attracted by the honey on her lips. Ultimately, she's not sweet at all. She's bitter. She's bitter as wormwood. You were attracted by the fact that she seems smooth as oil. She's not smooth at all. She's sharp. She's sharp as a double-edged sword. The thing that once seemed so attractive, the thing itself, it's now toxic. Ragleha yardos maves, sha'ol tza'odeha yismoichu. Her feet lead to death. Her steps are directed to the grave. And if you're seduced by her, she's going to take you there with her. Let's reflect for a moment on the story of Kivros HaTava in Parshas Bahalosecha, the time when people in Bnei Israel were fed up with the man and they were desperate for meat. The man was a spiritual food, it was a spiritual existence, and they wanted meat rather. So it was a choice of physical gratification of meat instead of the long-term meaning and the long-term fulfillment that they could get from the spiritual nourishment of the man. So they asked for meat. And they got meat, but the meat killed them. They ate meat until the meat destroyed them from the inside and ultimately took their lives. Says the Rabbeinu Bachya, and he's linking this story of Kivros HaTava to our mashal in Mishlei, that this is the story of what happens when people choose pleasure and gratification over values. The very pleasures that they pursue, they end up killing them. This is the story of Kivros HaTava, and this is what Shlomo HaMelech is cautioning against in this mashal. Amongst the mashal, the governing metaphor is of a forbidden relationship. It's about any distraction that pulls you off track, any unhealthy relationships, unhealthy relationship with technology, unhealthy relationship with a career, an addiction. Rashi and many other Mefarshim understand this to be about false ideology and heretical ideas. Don't be drawn into heresy. It might be fascinating, it might be attractive, and you're very curious. But be careful, because if you're drawn in, it's very hard to find a way out again. And for all these seductresses in our lives, the seductress in the form of heretical ideas, or the seductress in the form of a person, or the seductress in the form of a device, Shlomo HaMelech is telling us, don't be naive. Don't be short-sighted. Don't trade your whole future for a moment of pleasure. Look beneath the surface at what this really is. And then in Pasuk Zayin, Va'ata Vonim, Shimoli Va'al Tosuru Me Imrei Fi. And now, my children, listen to me and don't depart from the words of my mouth. Harchik Me'oleha Darkecha, distance your way from her. Va'al Tikrav Al Pesach Beisa, and do not go near the entrance of her house. Don't go close to her. Be careful lest you give away your vigor to others, and lest you give your years to the cruel. Lest strangers be satiated with your strength, and your hard-earned wealth go to the house of a stranger. He's describing how you'll lose your hoidecha, your vigor, shnoisecha, your years, koichecha, your strength, and atzavecha, your hard-earned wealth. Don't invest in her. She will take everything from you. You'll lose your energy. You'll lose your resources, your reputation, your passion, your vitality. You'll give the best years of your life to something that only ever takes and never ever gives back. And you will moan when your end comes with the demise of your flesh and your body, which is the inevitable result of this process. And you will say, how is it that I hated Musa, I hated instruction, and my heart despised direction and guidance? And I didn't heed the voice of my teachers or incline my ear to my instructors. And this is the painful and tragic sound of regret. There is so much regret. There were opportunities, there were warnings, there were teachers. But I didn't listen, and now it's too late. Kimat hayisi b'chol ra b'seich kahal ve'eda. For a pittance of enjoyment, I was into everything evil. For a pittance of enjoyment, what did I even gain from this? How much did I even enjoy it? My smartphone that seemed so compelling and fascinating and creative and dynamic, it spoke so soothingly, it promised to let me lose myself in someone else's world instead of having to be focused on my own life with the pressures and the expectations and the responsibilities. But the end is bitter. If I lose myself to it, it makes me feel vapid. It steals me from myself. Its promises are all lies. Same thing with consumerism and materialism. It's so attractive. It promises to make me feel better about myself, to feel more secure. It promises sophistication and happiness and entry to an elite and respect of society and endless pleasure. It's sweet like honey. It's smooth like oil. But its end is bitter. It's emptiness. It's full of deception. Nothing that it promises comes true. It leaves me feeling so hollow, so lonely. It's shiny and the shine just scratches off the surface. It's a kimat hayisi v'chol ra. It's just a pittance of enjoyment. But, says Shlomo HaMelech, there is something that is real. And this will bring you real satisfaction and fulfillment. In Pasuk Tesvav, he says, Shasei mayim miboy recha. Drink waters out of your own cistern and running waters from your own well. Instead of looking to a strange woman, find fulfillment in your own well, in your own wife, in your own family. And in interpreting the metaphor, Rashi and the Malbim and others say, this means the water of Torah. Find fulfillment in the rich spiritual reality that belongs to you. Why would you look elsewhere for satisfaction? You have your own well of fulfillment, your own well of meaning that you can drink from. And this pasuk has very strong similarities to a pasuk in Yirmiyahu Parak Beis, where Hashem laments that Kishtayim ra'ois osa ami, my people have committed two evils. Oisi azvu makar mayim chayim, they have forsaken me with the fountain of living waters. Lachtsayv lahem bayrois nishbarim asher lo yochilu hamayim, they've done this to hewn themselves cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. Meaning not only did they forsake me, a source of water, a fountain of flowing living water, but they did this to go and dig broken cisterns that will never hold water, useless pits, but all the water leaks out and they're left totally empty. So back to our Pasuk in Mishle, Shasei Mayim Miboirecha, says the Malbim, drink from your own cistern, don't go searching for broken cisterns, temptations, hollow philosophies, fleeting pleasures. They cannot hold water, they're unreliable, they're ultimately empty, there's no substance in them. Drink water from your own cistern, draw nourishment from the knowledge and the wisdom that you have within you. You have a rich spiritual tradition, you have actual water, you have reliable water. This water comes from the source of life, it's divine, it's nourishing. Temptation is just a cracked cistern. It looks full, it holds absolutely nothing, everything leaks out. But the water from your own well, that's the real thing, that you can drink from forever. Then your spring will spread outwards and streams of water will flow in the broad places. Finding meaning in your own well, your rich spiritual heritage that you have inside you, that guarantees actual fulfillment. And it comes together with a promise that your waters will overflow. You will become a spring that can reach out, that can share with others. You will become a force of unstoppable good in the world. And that is deeply fulfilling. The Sfasema says that the bor is the spark of holiness that you were born with. A bor is a cistern. It receives water from outside. It represents the divine force that you have inside of you that you were created with. It was gifted to you. It's the metaphor for the pit that has been filled with water. Hashem put his godliness inside of you. The be'er, on the other hand, represents digging. It's the effort that we have to make in this world. How do you get a well? You have to dig and dig and dig through layers of earth and layers of stones until you find water. And that represents the effort that we put in this world to get past the dirt and past the messiness of the world. And in the end, we're rewarded with water. That's a be'er. You have to search, dig and dig deep, and ultimately you'll connect to a constant flowing body of pure water. And this metaphor of cisterns and wells and springs, it represents a process. Rav Volbi actually says that this process, it's the whole purpose of our lives on this earth. When we're in neshama form, we're like a bor. Everything that we have has been put into us. We've been gifted everything. We're a divine spark of godliness, but it's not our own work. Nothing's from our own effort. All the input comes from Hashem. But then we come down to this world and we transform ourselves to a be'er. Through our own effort and our own input and digging our wells, we make something of ourselves. And then the water becomes our own. It flows from within us. And it becomes about what we produce, not about what we have received. So we start as potential and we're gifted with this divine spark, the water in our pit. That's part of our potential. But then we make something of ourselves through our digging. And the third step is a mayan. Ultimately, we spread our insight and we spread our light to others. We reach out, we become like an overflowing spring in the world. But first, we have to develop ourselves, he says. We have to find our own spring of water, our own be'er. We have to develop ourselves in order to be able to give. We have to get a sense of self, of clarity, of purpose, an understanding of our values and our strengths. And then once we've done that, the ultimate goal is for our fountain to spread to the world. For our fountains of insight and wisdom, our fountains of chesed, our fountains in every realm of accomplishment that we want to share and that we want to spread, they reach out to the whole world. And when we share these positive forces to others, then Shlomo HaMelech says in Pasuk Yud Zayin, Yiyu lecha levadecha ve'ein lezorim itcha. They will be yours alone and not for strangers with you. Which is in total contrast to what he warns about in Pasuk Yud in terms of sharing your strength with a strange woman. There he said, Pen yisbu zorim koichecha, lest strangers be satiated with your strength. Because over there, when you give of yourself to the strange woman, when you give of yourself to the seductress, who we said represents bad choices, addiction, materialism, it saps you. You lose yourself to her. So don't give your strength to those who will take everything from you. But on the other hand, if you're a Mayan, you're a fountain of water, and you're a source of positivity to the world, life-giving water, you share your light, you share your wellspring of water with others, it's the greatest source of fulfillment, and you never lose anything of your own. It's like a candle, it shares its light, but it's never diminished. A fountain overflows without ever being diminished. It can just share more and more and more water. It's unstoppable. And then in Pasuk Yitres, Yehi Mekarcha Baruch, may your source, your origin of water from which everything flows, may that be blessed. Usmach me eshes na'orecha, and may you rejoice with the wife of your youth. Turn inwards to your own wife. Don't look outside to another woman for meaning and excitement. You won't find what you're looking for elsewhere. Don't look to other people's lives on social media. Don't think that buying more things will fill that empty feeling. Don't think that giving your whole life to your career is going to give you satisfaction. Rejoice in the wife of your youth with what's yours, your own values, your own relationships, your own family, yourself, and ultimately your relationship with Hashem. You have what you need to build a beautiful, full, and joyful life. You have it inside of yourself. You don't have to lose yourself elsewhere. You have it inside your home, inside your Torah. Nurture it and return to it. Because finally, in Pasuk Kaf Beis, the alternative is Avonosav Yilkuduna Yes HaRasha Uvachavlei Chatasa Yitamech. His own iniquities will trap the wicked man, and he shall be caught fast in the ropes of his sins. Meaning, your negative lifestyle itself will trap you. The Medrash says that when we sin, it's like we spread a net for ourselves, and we get trapped in the very net that we ourselves spread. It's like the seductive woman who will sap everything from you, and she'll destroy you from the inside out and leave you with nothing. It's like the meat that the Jews in the desert craved so badly, but it ended up killing them. It's like an addiction that takes everything from us. Our bad choices trap us. We get caught in our own negative choices. It's like a trap that we laid for ourselves. So in summary, the message from the father to the son in this parak is don't waste your life. Don't give your best years to something you'll regret. Don't be fooled by things that look attractive or tempting and offer you this delicious short-term gratification. Don't put yourself in a position where you're going to end up asking yourself, how did I get there? Where you're going to look back with devastation at how you wasted your life. Be proactive in your decision-making instead of regretful at the end. And find and nurture and develop what you have inside you. Find that inner divine spark and nurture it and share it with the world. It's a very powerful parak. It leaves us thinking a lot. It leaves us thinking about who are the strange women in our lives and how do we access this life-giving water? How do we find it inside of us and how do we get it to overflow? Thank you for studying together in the merit for Refuah Shelema for Yonina Zimmer Bas Daphna Hinder and the wounded members of Tzahal, among those who are ill among Klal Yisrael, by Nina and Chaim Schenker.